Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Release Your Power Show. I am your host, the E-Power Coach, Lalisa J. Williams. Now, this is a show where we talk about how to become that empowered employee, that empowered family member, that empowered manager, professional, that empowered leader, and even become empowered in our spiritual life, in our health life, and in our finances. Those are three key areas of where we want to be empowered. So that would be in our finances, in our health, and also in our family life. But we also want to be empowered on our jobs and our careers. We want to be empowered as it relates to our education. We want to live the best life that we can live. We want to live life to the fullest. And I have experienced living this kind of way, and so I want to give back to you. I want you to be able to experience the things that I've experienced. And that is why I set this show up. Release Your Power is more than just a Blog Talk Radio show. It is a book. In the book, Release Your Power, the book is full of wisdom and knowledge, experiences. It gives you some examples and some steps of things that you could do to begin to release your power and truly, truly begin to live an empowered life. What is an empowered life, a person might want to know. Well, an empowered life is a life where you take charge. You see, God is in control, but he's giving you charge over things that you are to do. You know, many times even, for believers, you know, we want to leave everything to God to do. But God is saying, no, I'm done. I want you to do some things. I have my part, but you also have a part to play. And so being empowered is about taking charge of things that we have allowed to let other people have control over. And we've let other people be in charge of our thoughts, our emotions. You know, there's times when you hear people say, oh, they made me do this or they made me say that. No, we have to have control over what we say, what we do, and even over what we think. And so we have a set of steps that we're going to be giving out today. And actually those steps are called the 10 steps for living your purpose. 10 steps for living your purpose. Because the truth of the matter is, when you live your purpose, you will be empowered. In other words, the two go hand in hand. You can't be empowered without living your purpose. And you can't live your purpose without being empowered. Now, you need to know that I am a person who believes that everyone can be empowered to live their dreams if they only had some instruction, if they only knew how, if they had some guidance, if they had direction. People need to be motivated. And some people say, well, do I need to go to a motivational speaker? Do I need to go to motivational seminars? And I would be one to say yes, because motivational seminars, that's what helped me along the way. When you look at being motivated and you look at a motivational seminar and what it does, a motivational seminar is something that helps you to overcome sometimes places where you are stuck. You see, what is motivation? If we look up just the basic definition of motivation, we find that motivation, it is the set of forces that cause us to behave in a particular way. So motivation, then, is a basic textbook definition. It is a set of forces that causes us to behave in a certain way. Now, in subsequent shows, I will be breaking it down more finely for you. Motivation, empowerment, emotional success. We'll talk about emotional intelligence on the job. We'll talk about other personalities that other people have on the job and why some personalities don't work well together, why some personalities really complement one another. In subsequent shows, we'll talk about the Pygmalion effect. We'll talk about Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and we'll talk about McClellan's theories of needs and what do people really feel that they need, and why sometimes we see people behave the way they behave on the job. You know, there are, in other shows, we'll talk about Michael Porter's Five Forces model for success. Now, Michael Porter talks about success as it relates to the organization, but we'll talk about success as it relates to you, the individual, because we can, we're like an organization. That's why you hear people who help you to market yourself. They tell you to brand yourself. Well, that's a term that companies use. Companies brand their products. For instance, if you go to the grocery store, you see the difference between Post cereal and General Mills, or you see the difference between Kellogg's and Post. Okay, so companies brand themselves. Microsoft brand is different than Apple, than the Apple brand, or AT&T brand may be different than the Sprint brand. And so we know that's a term that was always typically used for companies, and then people began to use that same theory. And so we're going to use the same theory that Michael Porter uses for success for businesses. And he talks about five forces that every business is faced with. And so that's certainly, you know, you want to stay tuned to the Release Your Power show, because yes, it is a show that empowers not only the individual, but also it can empower your organization, it can empower your group, it can empower you as a family member. And just imagine, can you just even imagine what the world will be like when we have a lot of people who are striving for excellence? Because truly, people who are empowered are people who are striving for, they're striving for excellence in their lives. Now, we're going to talk today, like I said, about, I'm going to go over these 10 steps to living your purpose. And again, I just want to welcome you to the show today, the Release Your Power show. For the past 2 weeks, we have been on the show and we have been discussing the Wealth Strategy Symposium. Well, let me tell you, it was a huge success. It did happen. Dr. Kimbrough came to town. He's the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, What Makes the Great Great, and several other books. It was on Saturday, May the 3rd. We were at Essex County College. Some of you tuned in. You heard us talking about the show. All of our speakers were there. We had Rebecca Simmons. She's also an author, also a pastor. She has a show on Blog Talk Radio, or several shows. We had Diane L. Murray, the insurance rep. We had Orrain Williams. He's in real estate. We had Georgia Woodbine, awesome woman from New York City. She came over, and she really was very motivating for people. She's also a life coach and has seminars coming up. You can look her up on the web. Just type her name into Google. Georgia Woodbine, awesome woman. She wrote a book. How to Make Big Bucks Without Selling Your Soul. She's been in the entertainment industry. She's worked for BET before. I've had her on my other radio show, which is the Power of Truth radio show, which airs every Friday on Harvest Radio, 1070 AM in the New Jersey area and parts of New York, but you could also listen to it via the radio, the internet at harvestglobalnetwork.com. So we just had a wonderful, wonderful time. We had Mr. Burke Shockley. He is the Associate Director of Business Services over there at Essex County College. And hello and welcome to the show. If you just tuned in, you are tuned in to the Release Your Power show. And we thank you for joining us this morning, where we're going to be talking about 10 steps to living your purpose. So I want to get into those in just a minute. We're going to be talking about those. But we just had a wonderful time at the Wealth Strategy Symposium. We had quite a few people there, and we did videotape, so we will have those videotapes for purchase. You really want to be inspired and to be motivated and coached by someone like Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. I mean, he's just amazing with his facts and the information that he brings to the table as it relates to wealth. He has studied thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this country of all different backgrounds and different races, of individuals who are wealthy, who have made a success of their lives. And he's asked them all, he did a major survey with them, and he wanted to know what makes the great great. And so he compiled all that information into an hour-long presentation. It's very succinct, and so therefore it's very powerful. It's very potent, and you definitely want to get your hands on that. We'll make the information available through Blog Talk Radio, also through my professional website, which is LalisaJWilliams.com. You can go to my website, LalisaJWilliams.com. You can email me through that website. You can also sign up for our monthly newsletter, which will be coming out and shortly. You can sign up for that. You could also go to my other website, brandnewbeginnings.org. You can go there as well. And on that website, you can order the book, Release Your Power, 8 Strategies for Becoming Who You Really Are. And this is what I do. This is what I empower people, help people to find their dream, to live their passion. And I got into this business, I have to say, quite by accident, but I guess I was releasing my power, and it led me to this kind of work. I didn't grow up thinking all my life I was going to be a motivational speaker, an empowerment coach, a trainer. That was not even a thought for me. It wasn't. However, when I look back over my childhood, I see that I was always in groups of people. I was always out in the neighborhood playing with the other children, playing in little groups, whatever little game we were playing. And then I was actually thinking back to this one neighborhood we lived in when I was in probably in the third or fourth grade. And it came back to my memory that I had started this little group of girls. It was about 5 of us. They were from my fourth grade class. And we had started this group and had given it a name and everything. And I had really forgotten about that group because we moved out of that neighborhood like that next year, because we moved when I was in the fifth grade, and we moved to like a whole totally different place. So while I was there in that neighborhood from the first grade to the fourth grade and had, built up a little friendship with some of the neighbors, because we lived in the projects, and, people lived very close to us. Your next door neighbor was like 2 feet away, and I was the type that, loved to go be outdoors playing with the other kids. And so I remember we started this little group. It was called the DV Lees. And I was amazed. And we would meet once a month at one of the different girls who was in the group. We would meet at their houses. Now, I was the only girl, oddly enough, the school I went to, Garfield Elementary School. So for those of you from the Cincinnati area who grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, in case you listen to this, you will know what I'm talking about. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. The school was called Garfield Elementary School. And this is a school that went from the fourth grade to the sixth grade. And so I was only able to go there once I got into fourth grade. And I met these girls, and we started the group. Now, they did not live in the projects. The school was in an area where there were homes, and the projects, we were like down the road a little bit, a few miles, a couple of miles from the school. And so I met these girls. All the other girls lived in a house. I was the only one who lived in the projects. But the girls, they accepted me. They didn't look down on me. And they came to my house. They came to my house when it was my turn. My mother made hot dogs and all of that. I went to their house when it was their turn. And mostly we just spent our time pretty much, I guess we spent our time dreaming about the future. But I remember we also, you know, played a lot of music, you know, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, Marvin Gaye, and I guess Tammy, the lady that sang with Marvin Gaye, can't think of her name right now. But I remember those songs and probably some Smokey Robinson and some Temptations. And so we spent a lot of time doing that, but we probably did spend some time talking about the future, because nothing just happens. And I'm sure the life I'm living now was, you know, a seed planted way back when. But like I said, we moved from that neighborhood, and I never saw those girls again, not one of them. So who knows, maybe one of them will be listening to, I know a couple of their names. I know one girl's name was Pat, and one girl, her name was Vanessa. But again, that was fourth grade, you know, that was back in the 60s. And so who knows, maybe, yeah, probably like around 65, this is 2008. So who knows where they are now, who knows what their names are. But if any of them ever come across this tape and they hear this, they will know who they are. And I think there was one named Kim. But I'm just even amazed that I can't even remember their names. But it was just a wonderful thing. So anyway, that's how I got to be, I probably just a part of the whole empowerment movement. And I guess what really helped me to be a part of empowerment was, by the time I got into the fourth grade, you know, I was already a victim of incest and child molestation. But it was something that I kept a secret. I kept it hidden. I didn't tell anyone. I was very hurt, embarrassed, and ashamed. I really didn't know what to do about it. And it lasted, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. By the time I got to the eighth grade, I was just really not into school. I just, you know, we moved to another neighborhood. We moved around a lot as a child. By eighth grade, we moved to another neighborhood, and that neighborhood really was my downfall, because we moved there in the eighth grade. My grandfather passed. My grandfather and I was very, very close. I loved my grandfather. He died, and at the time, I had no idea that it meant anything other than Grandpa's not here anymore. But when I look back over it, I realize that that was a major trauma that I went through, and it was never addressed, because he was like my light. He was my, my father had already left the home. He left the home when I was in the fifth grade. So, you know, it was like, wow, you know, my grandfather, I loved him. He loved me. There were seven children. I think I was probably his favorite for some odd reason, probably because my name was close to his wife's name, which was my grandmother. Her name was Lillian, and I'm Lilisa. And everybody always said I looked like her more so than I did my mother. So I think that was probably, who knows if that's why he took liking to me or just the way God planned it. But nonetheless, he did pass, and I was in the eighth grade. And I felt as though there was no one else for me to live, you know, a good life for. You know, like, I didn't have to be special anymore, because he made me feel special. I was like his special person. I mean, I just knew I was somebody because of him. So once he was gone, I didn't have that person to motivate me, so to speak. You know, remember motivation, we said in the beginning of the show, it's the outside forces that cause us to behave in particular ways. So he was my outside force that caused me to behave in a particular way. Now, there's also inside motivation as well. So we realize now that we have extrinsic motivation, which would be those outside forces that cause us to behave in a certain way. But there's also intrinsic motivation, and those are the inside forces that also cause us to behave in a certain way. But a lot of people don't tap into the intrinsic motivators, the things, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, some intrinsic things that will motivate you to live your purpose. But a lot of people just tap into what's on the outside, and therefore when those outside things disappear, when they go away, when they walk off and leave you, or when they pass away, then we're stuck. And that's why some people, even on the job, if they allow outside motivators to be their guide and their only source, what will happen is, if what if the outside motivation is your supervisor or your manager, and that person leaves the company, then what are you going to do? Or what if the outside motivator is, you know, the type of work that you do, and then you get a promotion, you get a different kind of job, then what's going to motivate you? And what typically happens for the individual is their performance begins to go down. Their performance begins to get substandard or just even fall away altogether. And that's what happened to me. I was right before my grandfather died, and when I went to the eighth grade, I was doing okay in school. At that point, I was probably getting a C. And that was an improvement, because prior to that, in the younger grades, third, fourth, and fifth around that grade, I was failing, getting, you know, D's and F's. So by the time I got to the eighth grade, I was doing a little bit better. But then my grandfather passed, and we moved to this new neighborhood. Now, we were living in a house when my grandfather, right before he passed, we were living in a house, and we had to move to back to the projects. Not the same projects, another set of projects. My dad had left. We didn't have the money. My mother couldn't afford to take care of seven children and pay a house note. And we, the children, we didn't know how to pitch in and help. My brother had a little job selling Jet magazines, but that, you know, was barely enough to get him the little things he needed for school. So we moved out of our house, moved back into the projects. And again, like I said, when you live in the projects, sometimes it's hard because the other kids live so close to you. They, like, you know, 2 minutes away. It's like you sneeze and they say, gesundheit, you know, gesundheit or whatever. Or you cough and they're handing you a cough drop. Okay, this is how close people live together. And that sometimes I think is a little bit of a problem for children, especially those children who are followers. And at that time, I was a big follower. Anything you said, I was going with it. I was there. I didn't stop to assess whether it was wrong or right. I just ran to do it. And so this is what happened. We moved to this neighborhood, and going to a new school, you know, you have to fit in somewhere. You're going to fit in somewhere. Every child's going to fit in somewhere. Either you're going to fit in with the smart kids, the bright kids, the good kids, the bad kids, the horrible kids, the crazy kids. You know, most kids don't tend to be alone. I mean, we're social people. We like to be with others. Now, some kids, and the kids that you find in over life, the kids who do, like, really stay by themselves, typically have latent problems that come out later in life. Or those are the kids sometimes you hear about on the news that they, you know, they were making a bomb, they went into the school, they blew everybody up, or they shot everybody up. And sometimes, so, you know, that's not always the answer either, to just stay to yourself. Sometimes those are the kids that, and especially for the young ladies, they end up in very abusive relationships, and the person already knows they're in isolation, they're not going to tell anyone. So you have to be careful, and you really have to watch your children. But so that's, you know, then by the time, so I was, you know, started getting involved in drugs, and I started, and then the sex became even more prevalent with the incest situation, and then it just became full-fledged. And so by the time I was in the 11th grade, I was so down on myself that I dropped out of school because I felt everything else was going wrong for me, you know. I was in and out of these little boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, and that was bad. And so it's like, you know what, just drop out. There's no need to stay in school. You might as well make that fit the rest of your life. Everything else is looking bad. You might as well make school fit, you know, because if you know, I just couldn't figure out how to stay in school and make that work. So I dropped out of school and just kind of hung around, met this guy who was actually, if he was around today, he would be like an OG or, you know. But back then, it wasn't as deep as it is today. So it was just little petty things that he was doing but not working. So he didn't work, and I didn't work, and I just kind of hung around with him. He had money and from selling drugs and what have you. And, you know, that was fun for me. But, so, you know, I have a right to be here now trying to empower others, considering after the dropping out and after all the other negative things that happened. At age 32, I decided to do something different with my life. So so I decided to go back to school. I started at Essex County College, working on an associate degree. That's a two-year degree where you just take some general courses like English, math, reading, history, and then you parlay that into some other courses that you might want to major in. And then from there, you can really just focus on, you know, your education. You can focus on exactly what it is that you're doing. And you can, you know, get to meet people. You get to meet other different majors. You get to, you know, find out what else there is that you might be interested in doing. You can join all different kinds of organizations. There's so many different kinds of organizations that you can learn about while you're in college, things that maybe you didn't know growing up. You might not have known about these things from your family members. Maybe nobody showed you or nobody helped you see, you know, what these things are. But, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to, you know, learn about things. And you can go on the college and do that, campus and do that. You can get your degree. And then, so I did that. And while I was there, believe it or not, having been a high school dropout and had done so poorly in school, I certainly didn't think I could ever be an A student. But wouldn't you know it, I did get A's. And that was through empowerment, because basically I told myself that I could do it. And I did it. And once you do that, you build confidence and you tell yourself, I can do it again. And then you do it. Then you build a little bit more confidence. And then you can do some other things that you really, really, really want to do. And so I did that, and I went on to get a bachelor's degree. And after that, I decided to, you know, study something that I had never, ever studied before. And that was political science. Now, political science, that's something. Political science was the thing that I decided to go and do. And then from there, I said, I learned about so many things about the community and politics, how the media handles politics. That's why when I see what's happening right now with what's happening with the current, you know, presidential campaign, you know, I sit back and it's not lost on me, because I studied political science for 2.5 years. That was my major, and I had to take every course imaginable as it relates to politics. You know, why people choose to run for office, what they need to run for office, what does it take to run a successful campaign, how the media can help you win or lose the election, what an electoral college is, how the different states are divided up, and just how, you know, how bills are passed. I had to study everything there was about the government and how the government is set up. And then we had to look at governments in, say, maybe 20 other major countries. And we had to study several other countries in Africa, countries in Asia, countries in Europe. We had to study and look at how their governments are run, and we had to also look at and compare. You know, it was a comparison. We did a government comparison class, and then we had to study China and their government. And actually, I had a whole class called China Politics in China. That was just one whole course. And then I had another course. It was actually a fun degree. I thank God for it. There was another course I took called, that was the War, Peace, and Arms. War, Peace, and Arms. And I was, you know, okay, I had to take the course. I didn't have a choice. It was a requirement for a political science major. And so I remember taking that course thinking, you know, what am I going to learn here? And you know, some of the information is just staggering when you hear the history, because pretty much you just look at all the history of the war and how different wars are started. You look at the economy, what state the economy is in. Then you look at who is in office, who's in political power in other countries that we might be at war with. What supplies does that country have? And what resources do these various countries have? What's the labor pool like? And many, many things like that that I studied in that when I was getting my bachelor's in political science. And so all these things helped to empower me to be where I am today. At the time, I didn't realize what was happening. I didn't even understand why I had chosen a degree in political science. No one in my family was into politics per se, but yet we're all in politics, but no one was studying politics or running for any kind of governmental office at the local level or anything else. Well, I guess I could say my mother somewhat was in politics because she worked for the federal government and she worked for IRS. But then, too, I could also say that, but wait a minute, let me back up on my own life. I was in the government as well. I was in the United States Navy back in 1980. I went into the Navy to become a jet mechanic, which is what I did for the 2.5 years that I was in there. I was a jet mechanic, and my job was to help fix F-14s. That's the Tomcat, the fighter plane. But we were not attached to a ship. Back then, there were not that many ships for women. And I was stationed in Virginia Beach. That's where I was stationed for 2.5 years, from 1980 until almost 83. I was only signed up for 3 years because that was the minimum that you could do for my rate, which was the AME, Aviation Jet Mechanic, which is what my rate was. And it was a great rate. I have to say I enjoyed it. I was the only female, and so I did get a lot of attention from the military at the time, and I did win a couple of awards and what have you. And again, I was at that time I was 23 years old. I didn't know that one day I was going to be a motivational speaker, an empowerment coach, and all of that, because I would have taken more notes. Had I known, I probably would have tried to write a book while I was in there. But it was wonderful. I learned a lot from the military, but I didn't know enough to stay with it. I was the kind of person at that time, and I'm probably still somewhat like that. Sometimes I do get bored, and I have a tendency to move on quickly, and sometimes too quickly. And then, so anyway, I was in the military, but then back to this political science degree. So I got that, I finished that, and at that time I began to work at Continental Airlines, and I enjoyed doing that. I was a staffing rep, interviewing people, hiring people for the Newark Airport and other places along the East Coast. If you're listening to the show, you might remember my name. It's like, I remember her, if you work at Continental Airlines, because I may have done your interview. I worked there. What a fascinating job that was. I remember once I had to fly all the way to Hawaii just to interview pilots, jet mechanics for the airport over there in Hawaii. And we interviewed a lot of people from the military because a lot of people in the military, they work on airplanes. So, the airlines are always looking for people who have been in the military because they know they have great experience. They know they have a great attitude. They know about teamwork. They know about waking up very, very early, going to bed very, very late. They know the people in the military have a lot of skills and qualities and abilities that you can't always get in regular civilian people, because military people, they do things that, some civilians, if you spent a week in boot camp, they would be like, oh, no, I want out. And a lot of people can't handle it. And a lot of people know that. That's why they don't even go into the military. Never mind the fact that, they say, oh, well, I don't want to be in a war. Well, if a war breaks out, if you're a civilian, you'll be the first to go, because the military person, number one, knows about combat, and they pretty much know what to do. The civilian person who has no clue and no idea of what to do probably will be the worst off in a battle. I mean, just as something to think about, I just threw that in for free because I often hear people make references to the fact that, but a war, yes. Well, if a real big war broke out, believe me, the best place you might want to be is around some military people, okay? These are people who know how to operate heavy artillery equipment. These are people who know how to dig a hole in the ground in like 2.2 seconds. And they know some things that sometimes just civilian people, just no way you would know, because you don't have to live like that. Like a lot of times civilian people, they know how to make appointments to get their nails done. They know how to, you know, make a nice hair appointment. They know how to go get a massage, and they know how to have a spa day. And these are wonderful things. Don't get me wrong. I love doing these things too. But the military people, they know some stuff too, okay? And, you know, like with the 9/11, okay, or with, you know, when we had the Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana, and wherever you might be listening to this, you know, the people who have been through war and they live in the war-torn type of places, they are going to survive probably a little bit better when a disaster does hit. But anyway, nonetheless, and for some of you know, even if you were in this country, in America, and you're part of like being a Muslim, or you're part of, you know, at least with Farrakhan, under the Minister Louis Farrakhan, they are taught and trained for disaster. And you know, Red Cross comes on TV and tells people, you know, do this, do that. That's cute. That's nice. But they go through classes. I know my sister's a Muslim, and she's been one for like 25 years, and she tells me these things. They have, like, she'll tell us sometimes, okay, make sure you have this, and that, you know. And then I have to remind her sometimes, okay, dear, remember, I was in the military, but it's just fun. But anyway, let me get to these 10 steps of living your purpose, because I promised I was going to tell you about that. And then I got sidetracked telling you about some of the things that I've been through. And, of course, I didn't stop with the bachelor's. I did go on to get an MBA. I finished that in 2003. So, yes, I went back to school, even with my old age, because some people think, well, if I'm not 23, I shouldn't be in college, if I'm not 30. But I'm 51, and I finished that degree just 5 years ago. So that right there should tell you something. But anyway, I did get an MBA. I chose human resources as my focus because I like working with people and empowering people, and human resources, that's their main role in the company, to hire the best employees, but also to coach, manage, and train the employees once they get them. Okay, so they not only hire, they try to hire the best employee, obviously. But once the employee comes on board, regardless of that employee's performance level, now HR's role changes, and HR is now responsible to get that employee up to speed and to be performing at their optimum levels. And so I chose, and I love that anyway, so I chose human resources, and I did have other choices like marketing, finances, economics, and leadership were the other choices at the school that I attended. But I chose HR, and I enjoyed that degree. I really loved it. That's where I formulated my businesses, Performance Strategies Unlimited, which you can visit my website, lalisajwilliams.com, for more information about what I do, the training, the assessments. And one of the courses that I had to take in my HR degree was a training course, and I fell in love with corporate training and development. And so I graduated, but it was toward the end of my degree that I took that class. And I thought, oh, wow, this is a bummer. I'm leaving the MBA program, and I've just had a little taste of this training and performance improvement. So it created like a little void in me that I really wanted to be a trainer, a corporate trainer, workplace trainer. And I had already started the company, Performance Strategies Unlimited, a training corporation to train, motivate, and empower people. And I thought, wow. So I got the degree. Once I got my master's, I went to the junior college, and I gave them my certificate and said, I want to teach for your business department. They hired me. By the next semester, I was teaching business 101 classes at Essex County College. And then the next semester, they gave me principles of management. And the next semester, they gave me organizational behavior. And then they took away the business 101, and I was left with principles of management and org behavior, which I teach to today. I teach every semester and sometimes two or three colleges. So every day I'm talking to students about how people behave at work, and how managers and leaders and supervisors also need to function on the job. So we talk about the basic four functions of a manager and all these wonderful things that eventually I'll do a show on all of those for those new managers out there, whether you own your own business or whether you work for a major corporation or a multinational corporation. I will have information to share with you. But let me get to these 10 steps for living your purpose. I know you've been waiting for this, and I want to get them to you. Now, the first step that you must do, absolutely must, you must have perception. You must be able to perceive where it is that you want to go. At least have a, you know, you have to see clearly. That means you have to have a sober mind. That means you have to try to clear drama out of your life. If you're in a bad relationship, you're going to have problems. And so perception is step number one. Because this is like in your car. I mean, you can get in your car. You can know full well where you're going. But if your rear view mirror is cloggy and cracked, or your side view mirrors are broken and are missing, even though you may know where you're going, you're going to have a very, very rough time of getting there because you can't really see clearly. You can't see what's around you. You can't see the car on the side of you because, you know, there's that blind spot. You certainly can't see behind you if you needed to back up to go a different way. So perception, I'm listing that as the very first step. If you really want to live your purpose, if you really want to live the empowered life. So step number one is perception. Step number two, you have to have a purpose. Now you have to know what your purpose is. And two things I found that is the reason why a lot of people can't find their purpose. Two things that hold people back from finding their purpose. One, because people don't want to accept that it's not about them. See, when your purpose is not about you, it's your God-given purpose, and people don't want that. They want to have their own purpose, and they want to look for it in all these other places. So that's what hinders many people from their purpose. And also, when they find a purpose, they want to do it their way. You know, God gives you a purpose, but he's going to also give you the instructions on, you know, which way to go with it, and people, they don't want that. So that hinders a lot of people from finding their purpose. But these are the steps, though, if you truly want to live your purpose and live the empowered life. One, you have to have perception. Two, you have to have your purpose. You have to know what it is that you want to do, and you have to know where you're going. Number three, you have to have passion. And this is like a heavy desire. This is like a great, deep desire to do it. You have to want to do it. It has to be your passion. And what I tell people is, I said, find a thing that you would do even if you weren't getting paid for it. Now, that's your passion. Show me the thing that you would do even if they didn't pay you, whether it's fixing cars, whether it's making airplanes, whether it's, you know, doing a heart transplant. It could be raising children. It could be opening a daycare center. It could be cooking. It could be speaking, like what I do, motivational speaking. That's the thing I would do even if they don't pay me. And oftentimes I don't get paid, but there are many, many times I do get paid. So, but that, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But find the thing that you would do and you didn't get paid. Now, that's your passion. And put everything you have that I'm going to list next after that behind your passion, and you will live the empowered life, and you will be living your purpose with wholeness, fulfillment. You will be successful. You will literally explode if you do that. So your passion, do what you love and the money will come. Do what you love and the money will come. So I loved speaking. I loved motivational speaking. I kept doing it even when two people would show up. One person would show up. No people would show up. I would still do it. I still made the business cards. I still made the flyers. I still made the websites. I still did the radio show. I still did the TV show. I still created the seminars. I still created the binder. I wrote the book. I did it all. When you do it all, believe me, you, all will come to you. Where you're preparing to go is where you're going to end up. Understand that. I can't make that no more clearer. Everywhere you where you're preparing to go, that's where you're going to end up. So if you're preparing to go nowhere, you're going to end up nowhere. If you're preparing to go midway, you're going to end up midway. But if you're preparing to go to the top, you're going to end up at the top. If you prepare to go over the top, it's where you're going to go. Where you prepare to go, it's where you're going to end up. Now, the next one, so the first one, perception. They all start with a P, by the way. I guess I could call these the 10 P's of empowerment, the 10 P's of empowerment. So one, perception, have perception. Two, have a purpose. Three, put your passion in it. Four, preparation. See, once you have your purpose and your passion, now you know what to prepare for. So everything I do relates to speaking. I preach, I teach, I do groups, I do the radio, I do every single thing based on my passion, purpose, and my perception. And so I prepare, I go to training, I read books, I do research on the internet, and whatever. And then after you do that, after you prepare, you just throw in your preparation. You prepare, you prepare, you prepare. Now that you know your passion, now that you know your purpose, now you can fully prepare yourself. You can take the right classes. Now you're not taking the classes that don't. Now you have your passion. Now you know what to take courses in. Now you know what degree to get. Some people do it the opposite. They go and take a degree that someone has told them, oh, you should study this. Oh, you should study that. You can make a lot of money doing this. You can make a lot of money doing that. And they spend a lot of time, energy, effort, and money doing that. But there's no passion there. And then one day they come to their senses and realize that I didn't even want to do this. This is not really what I wanted to do in life. And so I think that's very sad. And I've seen it happen to people over and over, and that's one of the reasons that I go out of my way to do these empowerment sessions, and I do them all over the country. I do them all over the state. I'm actually going to be doing an empowerment session this afternoon at 12. If you're in the New Jersey area, you can come to the seminar. If you're in the New Jersey area, you can come to the seminar. We'll be at 877 Broad Street, downtown Newark, New Jersey. 877 Broad Street in Newark, New Jersey. And if you can come to that session, that would be great. It's at 12 noon. Also, I'm going to be doing another session. I'll be doing another session right here, and also at the same place at 5:30. I do it the same session twice a day. So I do it at 5:30, and I do it also at 12 noon. So 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. This is every Tuesday. So if you want to come and get the face-to-face empowerment, please, you are welcome to come to 877 Broad Street in Newark, New Jersey, and you will be a part of the live session now, or the in, should I say in person, because this here is live as well, but you would be a part of the in-person session for empowerment, and then you can also sign up for the coaching classes. And like I said before, that this Release Your Power is more than just a Blog Talk Radio show. It's also a book. It is also a TV show. We have a TV show called Release Your Power. And I probably won't get through all of the 9 points this morning, but we're going to definitely pick up on next week, and we will do the other ones. But I do want to give you a couple of more. So we said, one, we have perception. Two, purpose. Three, passion. Four, we said preparation. We must be prepping, always prepping for what? Things that we're passionate about, things that are our purpose, always keeping our perception clear. We have to clear our eyes out every day, you know, keep that rear view mirror clean, keep the side view mirrors clean and straight. So our perception, because there are things that can come up, you know, throughout your life. And so this is a lifelong journey. This is a life thing. This is not, you know, one or two times I'm doing this, okay? Because your purpose should be something that, you know, consumes your life. It should be your life's work. Like for me, motivating and empowering others.
Now, a big part of who I motivate and empower are women coming out of jail and women who, why? Because I've been to jail before. So, you know, part of your purpose is, or if not all of it, your purpose, a lot of people, they struggle, like I said before, to find their purpose is because they don't want to accept what their purpose is. And your purpose is what you went through in your life. You know, and a lot of people don't want to accept that. They don't want to accept their past. They want to forget it. I mean, I know women that, you know, if you want to know what your purpose is today, just look back and somewhere in your past and find out. Like, for instance, I have one lady that I've been coaching. She's 50. She'll be turning 50 in a few weeks. And she just decided to open a bookstore. But here's a woman who, as a little child, was such an awesome reader that when she was in, like, the kindergarten, they used to take her around to all the classes in the school to showcase her reading abilities at her young age. Now, this same person then had a child who was also an avid reader, just a lover of reading since she was, like, one. She could read when she was, like, 1 year old. That's how awesome it was. So it's not a surprise, but it only dawned on her, like, just several weeks ago to open a bookstore. Now she's 50 now. And so that's what I mean by your purpose. It's always tied to something that you've probably been doing all your life, and you just didn't know that that was going to be your purpose. Now, just imagine had she had that idea by now. By now, her bookstore would probably have been in operation 30, 40 years. She'd probably be ready to sell it and just go sit back. But instead, she's about to go do a lot of work now because she has to start this business. But when you are passionate and when it is your purpose, guess what? It doesn't feel like work. Sure, you got to go through the paperwork. You got to write the business plan. You got to write the financial plan, the marketing plan. You got to write your exit strategy. You have to do your break-even analysis. You got to write all these pieces and just doing the marketing plan alone, because now you got to segment the market. You got to know your target market. You got to understand demographics. You got to understand buyers' personalities and behaviors. I mean, then the financial plans. Oh my goodness, how you going to get long-term loans, short-term loans? You're going to borrow money from friends. You're going to borrow money from banks. It's so much that goes into the business plan. Never mind just the fact that you got to have a strategic plan. You got to have an operational plan, your technical plan. You got to have operational plans for your strategic plan. You got to have your levels of management. You got to understand who's going to run your business when you're not there. You got to understand risk and what happens if the computer shut down for the day. Am I going to lose any customers? How do I operate when there's a downturn in the economy? Everybody right now is crying and complaining about the economy being bad, but it's just a cycle. We've had this cycle before. We'll have this cycle again. And so we have to understand as business owners, because I am an entrepreneur, as many of you are, you know, how do we – What do we do in times of a downturn, in times of a recession or a depression? Okay, so all those things we'll cover at some point in time on the Release Your Power show when we do our business profile. Maybe for the whole month of June, we'll talk about running a business, running a small business. What does it take? What are some of the small business choices? But today we're talking about living the empowered life. 10 steps to living the empowered life. Step number one, you must have perception. Number two, you must have purpose. Number three, you must put passion to that purpose. Number four, you must prepare for your passion and your purpose. Now you can prepare according to what you know is your passion and what you know is your purpose. And then I'm going to give you number five. Since there's 10, I'm going to give you number five. And then we'll do the other five on next Tuesday. So make sure you come back next Tuesday. Number five is very, very powerful, and you really need to hear this. You have to persist. You must be persistent. You must be persistent. So that means you have to persist and come back next week, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you think. You have to persist. And that is a lot of reason why people fail at things. And that's probably why it's like almost like right there. It's not in the middle because there's not an odd number, but it's close to the middle. A lot of people fail halfway through because they're not able to push past the thing, that problem that they have. You see, if problems come up, the bank won't give me the loan. I can't afford to hire an employee. I hired some employees. They said they would work for this amount. Now they want this amount. I brought some people into the business, and now they've turned on me because they got jealous because I'm the boss. People will do that. I teach business classes every day during the academic year, and I hear it. I see it all the time. People will get jealous of you when you are the boss, even though they did not take the risk to start the company. They did not put their, you know, effort and energy in it, but guess what, or their money. But guess what? They will hate you when they see your – some people, not everyone, but this happens. So you got to know how to handle all that, but persistent. You have to be persistent so you can hang in there. So that's what I want to leave you on. Hang in there. Be persistent. That's what it means. Keep coming back. Work through your problems, and we'll talk about problems next time and how you can turn all of those problems into something that you can handle. So anyway, it's been great. It's been wonderful talking with you today. I've enjoyed the show today. I hope you certainly enjoyed it. You've been listening to the E-Power Coach, Lisa J. Williams. You can visit me on my website under the same name, .com, LisaJWilliams.com, and you can tune in again to my other radio shows. You can actually just put my name in Google, and you will find out some of the things that I'm doing. Don't forget the empowerment seminars that are coming up. Stay tuned. They will be coming to your local area. If your company is in need of a trainer or a speaker, please ask for my press kit. I will send it to you, or you can just go right to my website and get information. I would greatly appreciate it. Have a wonderful, blessed, and powerful day, and I will talk to you later.